Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 10 is our scripture text. We'll begin in verse 8 so that we can get the context of the passage. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, "Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me the little book." And he said to me, "Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth." Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." Now, this is a very similar experience that the Apostle John had to that which is recorded in the book of Ezekiel in the third chapter. The little book clearly represents the Word of God. The prophetic word is the written Word of God, the Bible. The written Word testifies of the living Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Bible's author, and he is also its subject. He, and he alone, is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Friends, if you read the Bible and you miss eternal life in Christ Jesus, the Lord God and Savior, then you have missed the point. Sadly, many Christians read more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. And as one preacher has put it, many Christians spend more time on Facebook than with their face in the book. Now, sermon proper, we have 3 points this morning. First, that the Word of God is to be digested. Secondly, the Word of God can sometimes taste bitter. And third, the Word of God is truly sweet. The Word of God is to be digested. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So according to Jesus, every word of God ought to be taken in. I've heard some say that I am a New Testament Christian, or I go to a New Testament church. We preach strictly from the New Testament there. On this point, they are off the solid ground. The Apostle Paul put it this way: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you are young in the faith, maybe you have been a born-again Christian for just a little while, or just recently you really got serious about the things of God. Maybe just recently you really got serious about living a life pleasing and fitting for one who would call himself or herself by the name of Jesus Christ. If this is you, then the scripture has this to say to you. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, many of you have been of the household of faith for a while, but yet you have not made the Word of God a daily priority as you ought. And to you, the Scripture says this: for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If this book simply sits on a shelf and is not used, there will be consequences in your life, because you're going to be facing certain situations where you're going to come to a crossroads and you're going to need direction, and you're not going to know whether you ought to turn left or to turn right. Now, seeking Christian counsel can surely help you in this regard. If instead you choose to Google the answer to your quandary, you'll find yourself running around in circles. Have you a daily diet of the Word of God? If you can say yes, you do well. But take heed that you do not become complacent. There are many Christians who used to partake daily of the Word of God, who used to digest the words of this little book, but don't anymore. One says, but I have already read the Bible through once or twice. Well, if someone said to you that they have already eaten in calendar year 2014, and therefore they do not need to eat on a regular basis in 2015 because they have already done so in times past, you would think them a fool, for they would be malnourished. So, it is spiritually for the Christian who will not take of God's word and eat. Spiritual weakness and spiritual malnourishment will set in. And when we're then at that weak point, what do you think's going to happen? You're ripe for temptation. Another says, I pray and I study deeper now than before. I've already been there, done that. Now I just dissect a book or two a year. And so this is why I no longer daily read the Bible. Well, I submit to you that if you drink more water and you exercise a little bit better than you did in 2014, but yet you still neglect to eat, you shall not fare any better in the end. Sermon prep and Bible study prep and all of these things are very good, but if I fail to sit down every day with my wife at the appointed time and read systematically through the scriptures, I'm not going to be very much good to you in the end, or myself. Now, Job speaks for the saints of all ages who digest the words of God and recognize their value, saying, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, the word of God can sometimes taste bitter. For John, much of what he had to write in the book of Revelation was quite a bitter pill to swallow. Men and women whom Jesus died for, many of his kinsmen and countrymen, or at least their descendants, would experience the wrath of God and these judgments that he was going to be writing about. Sin leads to judgment until one turns their life over to God. These things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. God's word has a way of cutting right to our hearts, exposing our sins. Have you ever been reading through this book and you come upon a passage and you say, uh-oh, that was written for me? And when this happens, we're faced with the choice. We come to a crossroads. Will we repent or will we rebel? Let's consider the following text from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts. And here we have the summation of the text, the crossroads which the children of Israel had come to in the days of Zechariah, in the days of Zerubbabel's temple. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. And he anticipates the response of the children of Israel. But they refused to hear, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Remember, as children, we put our hands over our ears and, you know, made sounds, you know, so that we could tune out somebody else. We did this when we were maybe 5, and some of us do this when we're maybe 50, when we hear the word of God. That's the word picture here. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. So what will it be? Repentance or rebellion? When we know the truth of God's word, we disobey it at our own risk, and its end is bitter. Final point this morning, the word of God is sweet. When we are disposed towards God in his word, it is exceedingly sweet. Then we can say with the psalmist, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And we experience the joy of Jeremiah. "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." See, when we read the word of God and fill our minds and our hearts with these blessed promises, we rejoice because we realize that, you know what? My identity is not bound in anything on this earth, but my identity as a Christian is bound with God through Jesus Christ. Perhaps one will fall. Perhaps two may not stand. But a threefold cord is not easily broken. This little book in your hands, friends, is filled with great truth, great peace, great hope. And yes, some words that will challenge you and expose the state of your heart from time to time. But indeed, this is a little book with a big impact. What words are sweeter than those which are the power of God unto salvation? In the first letter of John, the apostle explains his purpose in penning God's words. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Those words written in this little book sum up the purpose of every word in your Bible. So come then and believe in the living Word, Jesus Christ. Come to the cross today. Be saved from your sin and its consequence. Because you see, friends, you're not going to get anything in the Bible until you get Jesus in your heart. These things are spiritually understood. You can read this Bible as literature and miss the point. We have universities and seminaries full of those kinds of people. But the man born blind, who said, "I was blind, and now I see," he knew the one needful thing. Now, if you already have the living word in your heart, I pray that you resolve to take a step forward and start getting that written word in your mind each and every day. Not cheap substitutes. All of these foolish pursuits that we waste our time with. In the 20 minutes it takes to read 4 chapters of the Bible a day, probably waste that surfing the web or doing some unnecessary household task, indulging in this or that. And if you resolve to a regular reading plan, I won't leave you hanging. I suggest you begin in Matthew and resolve to read 4 chapters a day. There are plenty of reading plans out there. You start in Matthew, you read through your New Testament 4 chapters a day, and then when you're done, you read through the Old Testament. You'll be done in less than a year's time. You'll read through the New Testament a couple of times this year and begin anew next year. This is lifetime learning, continuing education at its best. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the objective truth that we can know those things which we must believe to be saved, that your Son, very God, came down and offered up himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, that he was buried, and that he rose again, that he might be the first fruits of those who come from the grave. That where he is, we, when our time is finished on this earth, may be also. That by believing in his name, upon his work, upon his promises, apart from human works, apart from human merit, apart from the clever additions of those who consider themselves wise, who add stumbling blocks to the simple man and woman who would come to you for salvation. Lord God, if there be any in our midst, pray now with me in following this prayer. Confess your belief to others. Lord, it's no accident I'm here this morning. It's no accident I'm listening to this sermon. And today, I'm ready to turn over my life, to take spiritual things seriously. And I don't know all there is to know about Jesus, but I know this: if something, God forbid, were to happen today, I want to have a place in heaven by your side, God. So without delay, I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I ask you, God, for your forgiveness. And Lord God, thank you that you are faithful to answer every single prayer like that that has ever been and ever will be prayed. Lord God, that those of us who are in the faith might be encouraged to subsist upon a daily diet of your word going forward. To this end, we are so sorry to the degree that we've neglected spending time in the Bible and neglected serious study of your word, neglected the fellowship of the saints in the weekly assembly, counting that 1 hour of our own as our own when you've given us 168 on a weekly basis. Lord God, we come back to you asking for forgiveness in a spirit of repentance, resolving to turn and do things according to your ways in days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll offer one another